It's time to make beef business your business, because we're in business with the best in the beef business. Right now, because you listen to this podcast, because I'm giving you this read, you can get in on a sweet deal with Hassle Cattle Company, that great, delicious Wagyu beef, that blue-collar beef. They're hooking you up with 10% off your entire purchase. Not once, not twice, not three times, but every time you punch in code DNVR10 at checkout when ordering food from HassleCattleCompany.com. That's HASSELL, cattlecompany.com. Remember, use promo code DNVR for 10% off every single time. You can also just come over to the DNVR bar, revamped menu featuring some delicious burgers made with that blue-collar beef goodness. Hassle Cattle Company, check it out.
Here we go. Here we go again. You guys know I haven't known what day of the week it was all week.
I usually never know.
I've gotten this wrong before. Yesterday I said it's Friday.
Oh wow.
She was like, it's Monday. What are you talking about? I'm like,
that's really bad.
That's the worst I've ever done.
That's as far,
it's as far as you can get. A Monday to a day. Welcome into Tuesday, everyone. The real Tuesday, the Tuesday DNBA show presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Use promo code DMVR whenever it is that you sign up. And bet on everything you want. Put some money on the Avs to win the Stanley Cup.
Do it.
Again.
I think you should just do a little Nuggets bet, Avs bet. Just put them on there. Yeah. That way you have some, all year you're just kind of like, you know, I might have all this money coming my way. I don't know. We have to wait and see.
And all Ball Arena parlay.
The all Ball Arena parlay.
I saw Throw Nate the McKinnon in there today in Ball Arena, and I said hello to him. He did not say hey back.
Who'd Whoa, you say? They're just
Nate
like
Nate McKinnon.
Us.
Yeah.
Did you ask him how he's doing? He has COVID, apparently.
I said, hey, man. And he looked down at the ground. It's like, all right, cool. No, good to meet you. That's a good story.
I guess right after he found out he had the positive test. Yeah. I don't know why else he would have been in the arena.
High five. Oh, yeah. Didn't do it.
Oh, like, yeah.
So weird.
I missed an opportunity for so many good jokes.
Well, that's breaking news. Nate McKinnon was at the arena today.
I thought maybe I'm wrong about what Nate
You
McKinnon
probably said hi
like.
To some guy.
Yeah, you're right.
It was
you're
definitely
right.
Not Nate McKinnon.
You're probably right.
I would break this down. I saw some other guys like, Nate McKinnon said hi to me in the hall today, thinking you were him. So like, there's a weird, bizarre vote out there somewhere.
Hockey players have a very similar look.
Guys, we have a great show for you today. We're going to talk about practice. I was not there today, so I am like you, audience. I will be asking all the questions because I can't wait to be taken behind the curtain and find out what happened today. Will Barton, do we have an update on him? Is he playing? We're going to find all that out. We're also going to talk about ESPN's future power rankings. ESPN looked into the future and determined what the where the Nuggets slot. I'm going to be honest with you guys. The power rankings on ESPN's future power rankings, getting lazier. It's getting easier just to slot in the two or three teams that are like,
right.
They're probably just going to be good. There's no reason to think that other than they're probably going to be good. And then everyone else fighting for the scraps. And then what else do we have on our docket? We're going to talk about League Pass teams, our favorite ones.
Yes.
League Pass darlings. As well as our main topic, which is going to be, I mean, this story with Kyrie Irving, we thought – it had some legs early on. Everybody was talking about it. Then we thought, oh, it sounds like he's getting the vaccine and will participate. Latest momentum is, no, he's going to be holding out and not getting the vaccine. Brooklyn is also holding out, saying, well, then you're not going to participate in practices or play home games.
Yeah.
And look, Brooklyn's the heavy favorite. So we're going to talk about how much does this shift. Should there be even a heavy favorite? And does this season now starting to shape up like last season where it really is anybody's game? So we're going to talk about that topic. But first, I want to go inside Ball Arena. Harrison, I'd usually throw it to you.
Yeah.
But you've been at practice.
Oh, yeah.
You've been at games.
Yeah. I'm old news.
You have been on the outs for 18 months, as I was yesterday or Sunday for the first time. You got to go back. Just kind of take us inside your feelings.
Well, first of all, they must have gotten word I was coming because the whole practice arena was empty when we walked in. They got out of there with a quickness today.
It's a travel day.
It's a travel day. It's a travel
Wait,
day.
Wait, did we miss it?
What?
We missed the media?
No, I did make the media.
Oh, okay.
It just was sometimes you walk in and everyone's there. Yeah. They're wrapping up practice. We walked in and it was like just Malone and everyone else was gone. But it was great to be back. Great to see our people, first of all, in the media, brethren, friends. And then just that, I still remember the first time I walked into that practice gym. And it's a really, really cool feeling to just, I don't know. I mean, there's still so many doors between us and the actual access we'd like, but it's still so cool to open those doors and walk in.
Yeah. So excitement, buzz. I guess if it's an empty arena. Like,
it was tough, dude. Like yesterday, you could tell there was a nice vibe. There was a nice buzz. Bones was dancing, like just doing crazy shit. Today, like nobody was in there. So it was tough to get a feel.
Okay. All right.
It's a travel day, though. Like, they have practice. It's always a short practice the day before a travel day. They go home. They pack because most guys don't pack before, like, they go to the arena and go to the plane. It's weird. But they go home, then pack, then go to the airport, then fly to OKC.
I should know this, and maybe one of us should know this, I hope. Are both games in Tulsa or just one?
They're not both in Tulsa, though. They're both in Oklahoma.
Well, thank you. Yes.
I like that
you brought in this. But there are two games.
Yeah, the one tomorrow night is at the Thunder Arena. The one Thursday is in Tulsa.
Yeah, two different arenas.
There it is. Yeah. Okay, so, fantastic. So let's talk. What did Malone have to say?
I mean, I felt like there was a big revelation today at practice.
Wow.
I don't know if everybody took it this way, but I certainly did. I thought Michael Malone pretty much confirmed that Bones Highland's going to be in the bench rotation.
Let's go!
I thought he pretty much confirmed that.
This is Harris. This is a game of telephone where he didn't actually say that, but you...
Well, of course he didn't.
He inferred something, and you implied something, and yeah. Here we are.
He definitely seemed to imply something. Yes. I understand Harris.
Michael Malone was talking about the bench. He said how he's still trying to figure out the bench unit and that, you know, a lot of what happens, I think, tomorrow and Thursday will determine who is ultimately on that bench unit. But then he said, it's undeniable. Bones Highland has looked really good. PJ Dozier has looked really good. Those are the two players he mentioned by name. And he said, those two guys are in a very good spot.
Okay.
I think that's pretty clear that he's saying those two guys are in the bench rotation.
If you were to power rank based solely on the preseason, I know you can't do this, but based solely on the preseason, like, okay, which of your 1, 2, 3 off the second unit have looked the best? Bones might be number one. I mean, Bones and Dozier are two of the most impressive.
Bones and Dozier are clearly the two best guys on the bench unit so far.
Huge gap.
Yeah.
And then you have to figure out their other pieces. But those two guys are like, they have been two of the best maybe five players through all of preseason. You know, even if you're waiting, like Jokic has looked incredible in his limited minutes, but we expected that. You know, I don't even know who else you would say has really stood out. I mean, obviously.
Jermichael Green had that big game in game two, right?
But has he been better than Bones Highland overall?
No, I'm saying he's another guy. You could probably put him third.
I'm trying. Okay. Well, I was going to say you have, you know, Michael Porter did have that 24 points.
I'm talking about the second unit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm just trying to. Well, I was actually just looking at overall. You'd say, like, Jokic, MPJ has looked good, even though, you know, he's had some mistakes. Aaron Gordon's looked really healthy. After that,
I agree with your larger
Bones point. Is right there, and you might even have him, like, hey, he's really shined in some of these minutes. So, to me, the question was always, like, how much are you going to weigh this? But Bones has so outperformed the field that I'm not totally surprised, but I'm pleasantly surprised, I guess, that sounds like the case. Let me ask you this. Do you guys get the sense? I'll ask you. Do you get the sense that tomorrow's rotation is going to mirror what – it's going to reflect what Michael Malone wants the rotation to be on opening night?
As closely as we see all preseason. And that was talked about today. That was kind of a theme of every question and answer today was this is going to be our best sort of sample size in terms of making inferences and so on. So, I mean, look, two wins point, there was a question about the bench and who's in the bench. And the question started with it's fluid. And then he named two guys that look great. So I don't know if I would say like confirmed, but I understand what Harrison's saying. You know, I almost stopped and looked at him in the middle of that presser. Bones is a Malone guy. He's in that circle.
So is Dozier.
Those two guys are in.
It's like two top Malone guys, really.
Yeah.
I love that. Do you feel like I cut you off and you got upset because I did?
No.
Is that what happened?
I was actually done talking.
Okay.
So you can take it wherever you want to take it.
You guys seem less excited about this than I am. I'm guessing because you heard it and then you probably talked about it and then you drove over.
On yesterday's show, we talked about how that seemed like the direction we were trending.
Yeah, but that was us speak. You never know until like you actually
usually have a pretty good read on these things, I feel like.
Look, I am ready to run through a wall. Yeah. I'm very pumped. This is every year I feel like it's so funny. We talk about the rotation so much. It's like one of our main talking
rotation
points.
Talk.
Rotation corner here.
It's great.
Is there a corner to a rotation? That's a good question. But rotation corner here where we're always trying to think. There's, I would say, 9 out of 10 guys in the rotation every year we like. And we're always like, there's always one guy where we're like, why don't they just play Michael Porter more? Why do they always play Torrey Craig?
RJ Hampton.
There's always one guy. This is the first year where, if this is true, I'm like, that's it. That's the 9 guys I care about. The Faku, it sounds like, did he indicate Faku versus Austin Rivers? Well,
that's what's interesting. We can get into that. But on the Bones point, what's so exciting about it is because, and I've said this before, as we've been previewing and leading up to the season, there's an element to boring about this Nuggets rotation, but boring is good. Like, you know what everybody does. You know what everybody's capable of, I think, for the large part. Bones is the one guy you don't know what he's
enough excitement,
do.
Though, to make up for nine.
Exactly. He is. He's as big of a wild card as you could ever have, and he does give you enough excitement to be like, all right, every single night, we really don't know what we're going to get from everybody, even though we do for most of these guys because Bones is there.
I also eventually asked Malone, you know, given the fluidity of the second unit, do you have a good feel yet for substitution patterns, right? Is it the hockey sub thing is going to stagger, or is it too far down the line? And he said, you know, it's tough to get a full picture of that without a healthy squad. And then he joked, he's like, obviously, you know, we'll always talk about one specific player and it'll be pointed out, well, he's better on the floor with Jokic. And Malone joked, well, so am I, right? So you got to find a way to get someone on the floor without him. Ultimately, they said they're going to look to get Porter some minutes with the bench again this year. So he brought that up on
the Bones Porter staggered bench lineups are going to be just pure adrenaline.
Love it, because Porter, I think, and I think the stats do bear this out, but I think Porter is, of the starters, the one guy where you can go, like, obviously the whole unit's better with Jokic. Don't necessarily need Jokic out there for Porter to have a Porter quarter, and that's the kind of thing that can help this bench unit survive some otherwise desert dry stretches.
Okay. Yeah. It's interesting when you're talking about the rest of the bench, though, because I assume, it's always a bad idea to assume, but I assume that the two greens are locked in there as your front court, right?
Almost.
Zeke Nagy, I actually asked Malone about Zeke Nagy today. It's pretty clear that Zeke Nagy's not in the primary second unit. Pretty clear that Vlatko and Bowler are not in that primary second unit, I think. So I think it's the two greens. I think it's Dozier. I think it's Bones Highland. The last spot, maybe it's up for grabs. Maybe it's up for grabs. Faku, Austin Rivers would be the two guys who are contending for it. I would lean Faku slightly, just because I think that's a nice fit with Bones on some levels.
Have we seen Bones Rivers a lot?
No.
No. And we did get those little Faku Bones centers, of course.
So I would lean Faku Bones just because we've seen it a little in the preseason, and it seems like it's worked okay.
It fits the need better too. Like, Bones is, his passing and playmaking is better than we expected, but I don't know that you like, it puts him in a tough spot if he has to be the point guard.
Right. And I brought this up yesterday, but I said this on Twitter, Faku Bones is a better combo than Faku Monte, which is what the primary bench combo was last year, because Monte, you know, is your classic point guard. He's going to have the ball in his hands most times up the floor. Bones and Faku, there's much more of a split there, maybe even leaning more Faku. So I like that.
I like it too. That would be my preference, is Faku Bones. It just seems to make most sense. Bones Rivers, you know, it puts the pressure on Bones to be the point guard, as I just said, but that's a pretty long lineup. You know, Austin Rivers 6'4", Bones is 6'3", but he has that really long wingspan. For a second unit, that's pretty switchy. It's pretty versatile defensively. I think offensively, you look at it, other than the true point guard aspect of it, it's not like you get more or less spacing between Faku and Rivers that much. I know Rivers a little bit more, but I don't.
Yeah.
He also holds the ball a little bit longer than Faku does. So I think offensively, they're kind of in one hand, out the other, minus the just pure point guard part.
Yeah, I don't know if teams are changing the way they defend because of Rivers' catch and shoot threat. So I see your point there for sure.
Here's another thing to think about, and this is a long ways away. Like, we're starting to really get ahead of ourselves. But if you think about the long term lineup, when Jamal Murray comes back, he's the starting point guard. That second unit then becomes Monte and Bones.
Yeah,
which we haven't really seen too much of. But that's two really good players.
You think, like, that'd be nice? Yeah.
I think it would be nice. Yeah. I mean, I really do. So
I think that's on the table, right?
I think it's on the table for sure. I think it's on the table for sure. Or as I have, I guess I predicted this maybe somewhere else that hasn't come out yet. So I'll save it. That's great. So that's fantastic news. That's honestly the best news that could have come out of today's media availability for me personally.
Oh, there's one more update too.
Let's keep going.
Will Barton will play. And there's
least surprising news ever. I told people this the other day. He was like, there was no limp. There was no.
He's fine. He's completely unworried and unbothered too. Yeah. We talked to him about it as well today. But Ken say they're gonna give him a go. depending on how he feels, how he looks, maybe they'll give him the back-to-back as well. But they might not force that.
All right, let me ask this question. We got bones with the starters last game in the second half, and it was just pure adrenaline. And that was with PJ Dozier in that spot. You think we get any bones with the other starters, including Barton?
Probably not much, to be honest. Malone has said that he wants to get different guys' minutes next to Nikola Jokic, just have different guys experience that. But, you know, as we've seen, he likes to keep things strictly, or for the most part, strictly starters and bench. But, you know,
they stagger like two at a time.
Yeah, and PJ will mix in there. Sure. I bet Barton will mix in there too. Maybe Bones is a candidate, but
I'm just wondering if you bring Bones in for Monte, but nobody else. So then you have, you know, Bones, Barton with the other three.
Yeah,
that
maybe.
Should be fun. Maybe. I mean, to me, that's as close to the best offensive lineup you can get without Jamal Murray.
Bones for Monte?
Yeah. That's a really dynamic offensive lineup.
For sure.
So maybe
it'd be fun just to see Barton and Bones on the floor together too, in any capacity.
Yeah, double Bones is. All right, what else did we get from Barton today? How was the Reverend?
I don't know.
Off day for the Reverend?
I don't think it was anyone's fault, but we've talked to Barton so many times, going back to media day to now, and then have seen him on the court.
Yeah.
Not at all.
None. Yeah.
So it's getting to the point where we all have the same questions and he's got the same answers. We've heard different versions of it. Can definitely say this. He's in good spirits, was not worried about the ankle. He was asked about his initial frustration level. And he said, well, when he first heard it, he didn't know how severe it was. And he joked that he thought to himself, here we go again, you know, but it's fine. He's at the end of the day, he's grateful it's just an ankle. He feels ready to go. We did get some insight into Malone told us that he knew Will was in better shape and in a better place this year, going back to a Vegas workout, right, Wynn, with PJ and Monte,
yeah.
In which Will just had his lift and he was dunking easily. And he and Will were joking that it just looked like he looked great.
Yeah. Will Barton's in the best shape and the most athletic he's been in 2 years.
I think mentally too. I mean, again, I don't know him like that, but just based off these interactions, he just seems to be.
He's glowing. He's floating.
Yeah, he's got that.
So I tried to tell people the other day, again, another guy that walked out into the hall while I was there. Nobody else was there. And he's just floating. I asked him how he feels and he goes, sensational. he's floating around right now. And that gets me excited.
Yeah,
you kind of read that kind of stuff when you're around these guys. So I got to say, guys, I was very excited for Friday's game. I might be more excited for tomorrow's game just because it feels like the biggest dress rehearsal.
And they're going to whoop up on the Thunder too.
I hope so. I hope so. They've whooped up on everybody. The Spartans have been sneaky good and they haven't had Will Barton yet. So I'm curious to see if tomorrow everything just kind of locks into place in a way that gets us just over the
moon. I don't know if you've seen what the Thunder have done this preseason, but they lost by 15 and then lost by 20. So.
Sweet. They're going real Pelicans. Have you seen the Pelicans? They've lost by 40 and then 40.
Is Zion coming back for the regular season?
I don't think he's
isn't that
I don't
in
think
seven
he's
days or something?
Participated in team activities.
He's not actually running, I saw.
Oh, that's good.
He's not running. He's dribbling, though.
He's
not running.
He's participating about as much as Kyrie Irving, which we will talk about on the other side of this. The Brooklyn Nets, heavy favorites in Vegas.
Segue,
80%. I thought there was going to be applause or something.
It was good. It was
didn't.
Good.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Brooklyn Nets. I'm starting to wonder, guys. So we'll talk about that on the other side, and maybe that gives us a different perspective on the season for Denver.
Yeah, guys, make sure to pick up some Mile High City Copper Lager for the game tomorrow night. Watch our pregame show, drink some Mile High City Copper Lager, then watch our postgame show immediately live after Nuggets Thunder tomorrow and Thursday, of course. Pick some up from your local liquor store. Pick some up from the Breck Brew Farmhouse if you're out there. If you're out there, stop in, get some food, get some drinks. They got a great little facility out there, the Breck Brew Farmhouse. Also, pick up some Mile High City Copper Lager. If you're not out there, your local liquor store, grocery store, wherever you shop for Breck Brews, they've probably got the Mile High City Copper Lager. Also, guys, we're sponsored by Ball across the entire DNVR network, as you guys know, as in Ball Arena, where the Nuggets will play. As in, the aerospace technology company also is in the world's largest aluminum can and packaging manufacturer. Ball has been leading global sustainability efforts for decades, and they reached out to us. They need help here in the Denver metro area at their Golden plant. They have floor manufacturing positions for production technicians and other roles available because they need to make more cans. In 2020, Ball made over 101 billion cans. They're going to make even more this coming season. They're adding line capacity to their 400-person plant here in Golden, Colorado. The demand for sustainable aluminum beverage cans is greater than ever. And chances are, if you've consumed a beverage in a can, it's been from a Ball aluminum can. So if you want more info, go to jobs.ball.com and search for Golden. Or you can text Golden to 77222. That's jobs.ball.com and search for Golden. Or you can simply text Golden to 77222. I'm also going to throw in a DraftKings pick of the week
here.
And I'm going back to the well. I'm going to the Broncos again because they've got the Raiders. I don't know if you guys have been following the news, but
yeah, they're in the headlines today.
There's been some turbulence in Vegas. So I'm going to take the Broncos -4 at home against the Raiders. My DraftKings pick of the week.
Who could have ever foreseen the Las Vegas Raiders with John Gruden at the helm getting into some
PR
trouble? That's
so
crazy.
Wild.
Yeah.
All right, you're taking the Broncos. They've also looked great lately.
Hey, they're going to bounce back. This is a classic bounce back game. Classic.
I had so much excitement for the Broncos. It's like, hell yeah, we're beating up on the Jets.
Just play my Giants every week.
Though, for the tailgate, don't forget, guys, this weekend, the tailgate Sunday, I'm going to be there. I hope you guys going to be there. Tailgate Sunday?
I will be there.
I'll be there, dude.
I hope it's a little cooler than it's been in past tailgates.
Oh, it's definitely going to. Are you kidding? You actually might be hoping.
66.
Yeah, dude, 66 is almost perfect.
Perfect.
You know what that's the perfect weather for? Harassing strangers in a parking lot.
Oh yeah, come be on the fan vote. Come be on the fan vote. All right, guys. So this Kyrie Irving saga has really devolved over the last few days. It's been a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a standoff, because I don't think the Nets are trying to make a statement or this or that. It's just like, look, they have the rules that it's very difficult for Kyrie Irving to participate in anything, and the Nets have just come out and said, look. If he is not getting vaccinated, can't practice with us, can't play home games, which means he's basically going to be a non-practice road player for them, tells me just not be a player for him. Like, it might just be that he's not – Kyrie Irving is a non-factor in this season for the Brooklyn Nets.
At least they know he won't be a distracting non-practice road player.
Honestly, though, this is – you thought about that team. Kyrie Irving is – while he is the third best of the big three players there – he's still a guy that is sort of unguardable, especially when you can't help off of Joe Harris and Kevin Durant and James Harden. Like, Kyrie Irving is – how do you guard that guy?
Joe Harris first.
That's the number one guy you can't leave. So their roster's still really good, but their title favorites were so high. They were so much ahead of the field. If Kyrie Irving was just out all year, I would say Brooklyn's still really good, whatever. But he's not. He's just kind of lingering, and it's like, where do we use him? And then later in the season, if there's injuries and this or that, I look at Brooklyn and I now say, talent, they still have this incredible thing. Maybe this works its way out. I don't know. Just a weird feeling about them not having smooth sailing all season long. Am I alone here, or do you feel like their title chances have lowered in the last few days?
Well, it's a weird – it's one less layer, right, where, we saw Harden's hurt in the playoffs, and KD is phenomenal, but – there are still great teams out east, of course, the defending NBA championships. So in the playoffs, yes, of course. I think you just have to acknowledge it. I think what you said, there's matchups. There's also just the 24 seconds. Forget what your defensive scheme is, who's on the floor. Like, this team needs a bucket.
Right.
Kyrie's one of those guys, and we've seen it on the highest level. In the regular season, they only seem to need any two of those guys at any given point.
That's a great point.
So I'm with you. I think they're still the favorites.
They weren't the one seed last year, though. That was Philadelphia.
But you're right, they were close.
They were really good.
I would say, for me, they're no longer overwhelming favorites. They still are. I still look at them as favorites.
Let me put it this way. Can the Denver Nuggets beat them? That's my question. If with this new Kyrie Irving news, is it realistic to be like, why not?
Yeah.
With Jamal Murray, yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
I'd probably put the Nets. I'd slot them down to that Milwaukee Bucks tier. I really would, if Kyrie's not going to be on the team.
A regular favorite, not a 19 Warriors.
They're still a bona fide contender. They're still really good. The regular season thing is interesting because, yeah, they didn't need all the big three in the regular season, but they needed two. So now, they are only going to have one on some nights. Kevin Durant will rest. They'll only have James Harden. James Harden doesn't really rest that much, but he might a couple times here and there. Then they'll only have Kevin Durant. So that's another factor where I think their regular season win total will also take a little drop. But yeah, they're still contenders. They're not the overwhelming contenders that they were with the big three, for sure, because I like Patty Mills. He's good. He is not even close to Kyrie Irving. So I think they definitely drop off.
I like how you framed it, too, with why not, because I think that should be the perspective. I mean, the Bucks are a why not team. The Raptors were a why not team. And the season hasn't even started yet, and we're already seeing evidence why. If you're good enough or close to good enough or think you're somewhere near that threshold, you go for it. You position yourself as a team to benefit off those circumstances. So I do think Denver's good enough. Of course, they would need Jamal, but they're definitely good enough that you go, oh, the title favorites are down one of their three best players.
Right.
Let's do this.
I will say, if something happens, 4 months from now, maybe the law in New York changes or something like that, and suddenly Kyrie Irving's back, they're immediately the same title favorites they were. I don't think
Here's the thing, though.
I don't think they need long at all to get whatever limited chemistry they already had with those three back on the same page. And I don't think Kevin Durant or James Harden are the type of people who would hold it like a grudge or anything against Kyrie Irving for missing time. I don't.
I disagree. Not about the grudge part. I mean, that I don't know. But just the chemistry part. Like, look, this Nets team can be really good without Kyrie. If he was just completely out of the equation, which it sounds like maybe there's still a chance he's just out of the equation for 3 months. And if he is, I do think they will develop a chemistry of like, okay, Harden does this, KD does this, and everybody else falls into place. But Kyrie is not the easiest piece to integrate, because not like he's a great defender. It's not like he, he can do a lot of things, but sometimes he goes off the rails a little bit in ISOs and does this stuff a little more than he should or whatever, as most ISO players do. So I don't know that it's a smooth sailing. And then on top of that, look, do they have his back for him doing this? Maybe, maybe not. But it's also like you do just get aggravated with guys over time, and you bring somebody in, it disrupts things. It can be tough. So
you do, but I don't know. Knowing how a lot of NBA players seem to operate with this stuff, I think Kyrie could come back tomorrow, could come back in 3 months, could come back in the playoffs, and they'd be like, awesome. Like, let's roll. Sure. I really think so.
If Kyrie Irving was 100% out of the picture, I would say Brooklyn is more or less the same threat, because Brooklyn's just so good. Like, Harden and KD, just how do you guard them? And then they put really nice pieces around them. So I would do that. The Kyrie factor and the uncertainty, to me, in some ways makes their ceiling higher but their floor lower.
I know what you mean.
In a way that I'm like, you know what? I do feel like a little more confident that somebody can beat them than I did, three, 4 days ago.
And maybe, man, I mean, we're already seeing, like, Jeff Green sort of talked about his decision-making this summer. I shouldn't frame it as wanting to get away from Brooklyn, but he chose something else.
Right.
And he talked about, wanting a low distraction environment. It also circles right back to, like, the Nuggets are lucky that, Porter Jr. is lucky that a similar sort of restriction isn't in place in Colorado and Denver. But all the same, you're already seeing some reasons why maybe Jeff Green went a different route this summer.
Yeah. There might be something more to that, too. I mean, it's not like he was too subtle about it. It does seem like he wanted to be in a Denver as opposed to a Brooklyn, and was made by him.
Dude, how weird do you think it is to be a role player in Brooklyn right now? I mean, they've been overwhelming favorites and all the talent they need to win, some of the best players that have ever played.
Circus.
But it has to feel different than other years as a professional.
Imagine being Patty Mills and having to be asked every day about Kyrie's vaccination status. Like, that stuff is grating, man. So, and that stuff, that's why I say if he was completely out of the picture, those questions go away by next week.
Right.
But if it's like, rumor has it that Kyrie is doing this, and it's just nonstop. It just never goes away, and you always have to keep getting it. So that's why I just said it could get a little grating for them. The other half of this equation is that, Brooklyn aside, I think Milwaukee's the next best team in the NBA, and I think they're really good. Like, if Denver matched up to him with Jamal's status as much of a mystery as it is, I think it's hard to say, oh, Denver will beat them. You say they could beat them maybe 2.5 out of 10 times. Me personally, that's kind of what I think. Maybe 3 out of 10. Maybe I'm underselling Denver and they look better, but that's just kind of where I'm at. But I look at the Lakers, I look at Utah, I look at Phoenix, and I look at all the other teams out west. The volume of teams is tough because you have to win a bunch. But any individual team I look at and I go, if Murray is 90% himself and they match up with the Utah Jazz, coin flip. I'm in. Like, I feel good about that. If Murray's 100%, I'm taking Denver. 90% Murray against Phoenix, coin flip to me. If he's 100%, I like him taking Denver. So this is just another year where I look at it and I go, we don't know how to quantify this for the Nuggets and what Murray looks like when he comes back. Nobody does. But I also feel like it's more like last year than people realize, and that the door's just open. There's not that one team that you're like, realistically, that it would take a miracle.
Honestly, man, this might be the direction we're trending, where it's just,
I agree,
by the end of the season, whoever's the healthy, most healthy and is still, you know, has the talent,
right,
can win it. The door's
and,
open.
And matchups.
Yeah, and matchups. And, you know, who knows what that's going to look like.
You can't control it.
Right. You assemble the best roster you can. You try to manage your minutes as well as you can throughout the regular season. You just hope and pray that nobody suffers a season-ending injury. And you hope all your guys are healthy going into the playoffs. That just might be where we're heading.
How many teams did you just name? Was it like four or five, right? Two out east, three out west. I think any
more than that, I think
any one of those five to six teams should say, if they're facing another one of those teams in the conference finals or finals, they should look themselves in the mirror and say, we can do this. We have a chance. And I mean, I love where the NBA has been in these last couple of seasons with that in that regard. I know it's been for some weird reasons, but I love this. I love this idea that we, as in multiple fan bases, can either say truthfully or at least lie to ourselves about what's possible.
Yep. And I love that whole take about, you know, all the different things that can factor into how you feel about the team. Because if Denver got, say, Memphis in the first round, they should be favored. If they got Clippers in the second round, who's a really good team, but Denver matches up well with them, you'd be like, okay, lucky break. And then, you know, who knows, Utah or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you end up going another direction, it's like you have Golden State in the first round, like, okay, that's really tough. Golden State's probably going to be coming up. You got the Lakers in the second round, like Anthony Davis and Jokic. That's a tough matchup for Jokic. Like, there's ways you think this can break really tough or really positive. I just think this is a year where it's more every team is at that mercy of health and those random things. I'm getting more excited about Denver, guys. I really am. I just feel good.
How much does Bones Highland have to do with
all of it? No, a lot of it. Like, there is this idea of like just an X factor, and look, putting your hopes and dreams on Bones Highland come playoff time, it's hard to imagine him playing like more than a 15-minute role, like a little bit role. But he is just a wild card for Denver. Denver needed wild cards this year. They needed a guy that's like, maybe Bones Highland has a Tyler Hero like rookie season where he's a legitimate X factor and wins you a playoff game because he makes 6 of 6 threes, and that that's possible. Thinking of that for a Faku or for a Zeke Nnaji or this or that didn't feel that realistic. With Bones, hell yeah, he could have an Austin Rivers game or two. Like, why not? He's a freaking gamer.
Yeah.
This year's not a wash, and it never was for me. I've been excited since the last season ended.
Hell yeah, let's do it. Let's hit our last break. On the other side, we have two different power rankings of sorts to get to. Future power rankings as well as league pass power rankings. So we'll get to those on the other side.
All right, right now, guys, go to manscaped.com, use code DNVR. You're going to get 20% off plus free shipping. All you got to do is drop the code DNVR at manscaped.com, get 20% off plus free shipping. Make sure to pick up the Perfect Package 4.0. Inside, you'll find the holy grail of men's grooming. They've made it really easy to upgrade your grooming routine with that Lawnmower 4.0. You also get the Weed Whacker in there, a total game changer to your hygiene arsenal. You also get the Shed Travel Bag as well. You also get the Crop Preserver, the Crop Reviver. All things you need to have the perfect manscaping experience. Make sure to go to manscaped.com, use the code DNVR, get 20% off plus free shipping with that code when you use it at manscaped.com. This week at DraftKings, guys, we got the NFL in full swing, obviously. You got another shot to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers, you guys can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets.
I was going to guess.
If either team scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL, 1943. So if you play the odds like you do at DraftKings, probably got a good chance to walk out with $100 this weekend. DraftKings customers also can do same game parlays now. They have that for NFL games. I think they'll have it for NBA games too. Combine multiple bets from the same game from a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win, of course. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Bet just $1 on any NFL game. Win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. Promo code DNVR this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, be sure to call 1-800-522-4700. 0-0. Finally, guys, get in on these deals at Solace Meds in October. Dixie Gummies, 25% off. Solace Bars, 25% off. Solace Sticks, those are new, brand new. 25% off. Mile High Extractions, 25% off. Summit for 25% off. And 1906 Drops, 25% off as well. They've also got Halloween specials. That's to come later in the month. But you can get those deals at any of the four Solace Meds Colorado locations. Fort Collins, Wheat Ridge, Broadway, and East Colfax. Last one's very close to the DNVR bar. Also, when you stop in at any of those locations, use the code DNVR20. Get an additional 20% off your entire purchase. Also get a free Solace bar or a King Cone. Solace Med just hooking it up. Get all those deals throughout the month of October. And of course, you can always drop the code DNVR20 for an additional 20% off.
Perfect. Back here, final segment of DNVR Nuggets podcast. Don't forget, guys, we have the player preview series that have been coming out. Zeke Nagy's out. Which one's coming out later today, Kale?
PJ Composure.
PJ Composure.
Whoa, that dozy kid.
I've been so 5 p.m. tonight. I've been so pumped because I've been doing the list for these preseason games, and it's just like I'm surprised at how much I've enjoyed getting back into film study. Mm. So much so, this is like a little meta here, but sometimes when I'm doing it, I'll go through a whole game and I'll realize I'll be like, I pulled 6 clips. I'm going through a preseason game and I probably pulled like 50 clips. Like almost every play is a clip.
Yeah.
And then I had to go through at the end and be like, all right, I got too many clips.
Every play. Yeah. I guess every play is a clip.
Yep. Every play is a clip. Breakdown. Yeah. Actually, it's the full game. You just watch it one clip at a time.
Did you see? I was just, I don't know, in a YouTube hole the other night. Carl Towns did like a 30-minute breakdown of one of his preseason games on Twitch.
No way,
it
really?
It was just him on the screen breaking down one of their preseason games.
Oh, that's so
cool. It was
dope.
Awesome,
that's
man.
So cool, man.
It's awesome.
Cool.
That's is that so Carl cool. Anthony Towns we're talking about?
Yeah,
that's
what
the
I
same
said.
One.
Carl Towns?
Carl Towns. Carl,
yeah. He's also accurate.
I've just never heard that before. Yeah.
He was Carl Towns before Carl Anthony
Towns. Oh, yeah,
that's
Towns. Right. That's right.
Yeah, but he was just on Twitch. His little head was in the corner, breaking down a preseason game.
His little head was.
I was just like, "This is awesome."
Oh, by the way, I did take notes from home yesterday. I saw Wind made himself laugh with Mr. Dependable again.
Oh yeah, it's the best.
I was like, "Oh, that's in my bingo
just
board
an
right there."
Nickname, 10 out of 10 nickname.
Can't breathe. All right, so you guys be on the lookout for those. I'm telling you, they get better and better now as we get more and more, you know, to the main guys. And I'm so pumped for them. I'm so pumped for you to see them. We got the ones out of the way that maybe you're like, whatever, I'll listen to Marcus Howard break down Peter Cornelly. But now we're at the ones where it's like, I'm telling you, there's a genie that appears at one point. It's fantastic.
The Peter Cornelly one was great.
The Peter Cornelly one was.
Watch
go back
that
and watch
one.
It. Yep.
Yeah, because we did rate the highlight on that one.
Yes.
And you pulled some excellent Peter Cornelly highlights from the top league in France.
Next, yeah. Well, are you talking about Liga Tapa?
The top league, the
top league,
league.
Not the top
the
league.
League.
A little inside joke. You guys have to go back. I'm telling you, like, I am personally offended if those don't each get 10,000 views because
they're so fun.
Like, we put so much love into those.
Nobody's doing previews like that. Nobody.
It's kind of true, actually. We're gonna go now into future rankings before we get to league pass power rankings. We're gonna go to future rankings. This is where ESPN they. It's kind of dumb. It's kind of dumb because they have a formula that they have to stick to when doing this.
Cut.
And it's like the formula doesn't make sense. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes you would be like, okay, who's better, Kevin Huerter or Jamal Murray? And you'd be like, well, Kevin Herter's a better shooter. He's taller.
Get one
longer wingspan.
That.
And you get all these. And you're like, what? No. Like, it doesn't matter how many boxes one checks, the other guy's definitely better. It's kind of like that here where they rank them. They have a formula for players, management, money, market, and draft assets, draft capital. And then they give you a score.
So I was going to say, is draft how many assets you have or how good your GM is at drafting?
Nope, draft assets,
okay.
Exactly.
That's
yeah, exactly.
A very different thing.
Oh, it's so true. Like a Tim Connelly, 2 first-rounders over the next 5 years or like...
Like is a Tim Connelly second-rounder better than... A Vivek Ranadive lottery.
There
pick.
You go. There
maybe
you go. It's like even.
And if there's anyone we trust to really define and quantify all of this
it's
stuff,
ESPN.
It's the worldwide leader.
The worldwide
Let's
leader.
Let's get into it.
So the formula is kind of dumb, but nonetheless, it's kind of interesting. So number one, who would you guys guess is the number one future power rankings? Like they're the most set up for the next 5 years.
Brooklyn.
it's Brooklyn. Yeah. They, right. On yeah. players, they scored number one. Surprise, surprise. Because I mean, they have all those guys locked up for years and years
well,
to come.
Well, I heard they were trying to get an extension done with Kyrie Irving. I don't know how that's going to work out.
Maybe they'll have Ben Simmons shortly, and it'll be like a, even more of a super team.
But still.
Management. Also, Market, they got a three. So Market matters here. They got three. I'm sure the Lakers are number one and probably the Knicks number two, I'm guessing. But
with
the,
yeah. Wait. Okay, yeah. All right.
I'm guessing that's how it works.
No, yeah, probably.
I mean, guys are going to want to start going to Brooklyn.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just, it's going to work.
I think it's already happened.
Management tied for seventh. Okay.
Surprised it's not a little higher.
But. Yeah. I mean, the Market probably boosts up what you're thinking of. Money, 29th. They don't have any money to spend. Like,
oh,
they're pretty.
Like, but I mean, that doesn't matter. For
it doesn't
them.
Matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. And then the draft capital, they were 28.
Again, doesn't matter.
Doesn't really matter. So it makes sense to me that Brooklyn's number one. They're just, they're going to be around, sadly, guys. Sure. They're going to be around
but
for a while.
But their future's also just like their present. It's just like what's in place here. If it if they don't trade those guys, they'll be good.
That being said, if we talk about Denver, like, oh, I love their chances this year. Next year should be great. And the year after should be great. You look at Brooklyn and you're like, is Brooklyn going to be there? Like, yeah, they'll probably still be around. Probably. Like, they're going to have to go through Brooklyn. Number two, any guesses?
Lakers.
No.
No. Milwaukee?
The Milwaukee Bucks, who also
Hell yeah.
Giannis and Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton locked up. So players, they get a two. They get a two on players. And then part of this is because they're locked up, right? They've got those guys for a while. Management, they got a three. Came in third.
Okay. Well, they bungled the trade recently, but okay.
Just like with Brooklyn, money and draft, they come in 28th, 29th. And then Market, I'm kind of surprised. Market is 16th, which just goes to show you there's really like five markets, and then everyone else should be tied for sixth. So if Milwaukee is somehow the 16th best market.
Dude,
for,
I mean,
like,
if Milwaukee wasn't good, their market might be 30th.
There's nobody, you never hear guys that are just
although
like.
Although I like Milwaukee. I really do like Milwaukee, but I don't think I don't think NBA players do.
It's not about what we like. It's the same with Denver. Like, I love Denver, but do NBA players want to go and spend their winters there? Probably not. That's the thing.
I heard it's a sick ski season, though.
So sick, man. And even market, I think you would factor in marketability, and I don't know that like Nike is like, we got to get our athletes to Milwaukee where we can really reach a wide audience. That's part of it. Number three,
the Lakers
came in here.
So we're just doing power rankings. The word futures has nothing to do with anything we're doing. So that's the oldest team in the history of professional sports. Okay? With no money or draft capital left, number three on the future rankings. Perfect.
Well,
it doesn't seem like draft capital and money are weighed as equally as
just looking at players on the team.
And it's so true. Market, they get a number one. Of course, the Lakers market will forever be number one.
Right.
Warm weather, celebrities live there. There's all kinds of clubs and models and corporations and everything else. Like, it's the place to be. They'll all be number one.
Like, I throw models into that.
Well, I'm sorry. Is that not a factor?
No, you're like, yeah, they have like good weather and models and
I'm just saying, like, if you're a professional athlete,
they got the three W's.
The three W's. Yeah. Market's number one. Players, they have number three. So this is so far gone in order of players, to your point. You know, they've got LeBron and Anthony Davis. I don't really think they have. Oh, and I guess Russell Westbrook. But come on. Is Russell
Taylor
Westbrook.
Horton Tucker?
No, is Russell Westbrook's future, like, future power rankings that great?
His present power rankings aren't that great.
Yes, future, we'll see. Management gets a six, which just kind of makes me so annoyed. It's just so annoying. They did a good job,
though,
of getting.
The guys are on the team.
Yeah, the guys are on the team.
So, LeBron, who are you friends with?
Yeah.
Wow, six.
Money, 26th. Draft, 27th. Doesn't matter. They're still number three. Number four, any guesses?
The Schmender Nuggets.
The Denver Nuggets. Pull it up, Kale. You can pull it up the screen here. Number four, a minor miracle. It's so funny, too, by the way, that we sandwich. Everybody wants Lakers Nets, right? That's the, like, hey, we want that. And you sandwich that with Milwaukee Denver, which is what I would love to see. And it's funny that you have this contrasting haves and have-nots in your top four. What a perfect contrast.
It's awesome, man. And look, deservingly so. They have their big three potential, like, top 25 players in the league locked up for the foreseeable future. I mean, we all know Nikola Jokic is going to sign the Supermax next summer. Michael Porter Jr. is on a 5-year deal. Jamal Murray's got another 3-4 years on his deal. Aaron Gordon has 4 more years left on his deal. This team's going to be very, very good for a long, long time. And They've got a couple other things trending up. I think the market is probably trending up. Well,
let's go one at a time here, because you said players, and you're right. They came in fourth in players. So 1, 2, 3, 4 for players also comes in 1, 2, 3, 4 for power future power rankings. Is there a chance they're underselling this when we talk about a five-year outlook?
Well, I was going to say players, I think you could make the argument they should be above the Lakers.
I think there's a can't. I mean, look, LeBron and AD, until proven otherwise, are still a really dynamic duo. But you know what? Maybe this is the year they get proven otherwise. Well, I mean, at some year that the top falls out. I will say, with regards to the non-top three guys, only Brooklyn has a case, in my opinion, for being better there. Milwaukee may be a mild case, but Brooklyn has like your Patty Mills, your Joe.
Definitely not the Lakers.
Not the Lakers for sure.
Definitely not.
Denver's like fourth best player is Aaron Gordon, who was the first best player on a team last year.
Yeah.
Will Barton's extremely good. You've got Jamichael Green and Jeff Green.
Like,
who are,
Will Barton,
you know,
would be
would
the
play
Lakers
for every team.
Lakers clear fourth best player. Monte Morris, ooh, is he the Lakers fourth best player?
He's one of the better backup point guards you'll have in all of the NBA. Yeah. But again, Brooklyn has Patty Mills. And they've got a lot of guys as well. I think that Denver, to me, it makes sense. Players are four, and I would even not be surprised if that bumps up.
Sure, and I was going to ask you guys too, piggyback off the Kyrie thing, if that, with just that being the case for now, does Denver have the best starting lineup in the league?
Man, that's a good
question. It's not the Lakers, because the Lakers are starting like Wayne Ellington and Kendrick Nunn. I don't even know. The Nets have a pretty good one with Kyrie have the best starting lineup. Without him, I mean, Patty Mills.
Still pretty good, man.
Still pretty good.
Patty Mills
the
is
Nuggets,
still hard to
guard. The Nuggets with Monte Morris probably makes them not have the best
starting
lineup.
Oh, with Monte, yeah. Good point.
With
good
Jamal, point. Yes. I think you can definitely make that argument.
Management, Denver got a 4. And I feel like there's finally some respect on Tim Conley's name. I can't remember what it was last year, but I remember a couple years back, maybe it was 2 years ago, when they came in like 14th in management. And you're like, what do they got to do?
Right.
What do they got to do for you to be like, again, this is where like Lakers management gets elevated to 6th. And you're like, oh, because they sign guys that are like coercing the entire league into getting them there. And they end up signing like good work. I feel like Tim Conley finally gets this. And to be honest, even 4th, I'm like, they drafted an MVP at 41. Bones Highland looks fantastic already. They've got 3 max players that they drafted. None of them are higher than the 7th pick. Like, come on.
I don't think I know the Warriors' big 3. I don't think they were all like on maxes. The Thunder obviously never got there when they traded Harden. But has there ever been a team that's drafted the 3 cornerstone players of their franchise and signed them all to rookie max extensions? I don't think so, man.
When they do it, it's always like they were 3 top 3 picks.
Yeah.
And that's why.
And to do it at the 41st pick, the 14th pick, and the 7th pick.
Insane.
This isn't like even a Philly potential process thing where it's like 3 top 3 picks.
True, man.
It's wild what they did with those 3
picks. Not to mention their starting lineup, Will Barton off the dumpster pile. They got Monte Morris, second, almost undrafted. Like,
yeah. Will Barton was a trade acquisition. Aaron Gordon, a trade acquisition. Right. Both looking like worth it, you know?
Yeah. So management high, money 25th. I mean, this is going to be a storyline for the Nuggets. They're going to be one of the most expensive teams and least flexible, most likely. Market 15th. Now, I saw this and I thought, Aaron Gordon came in. He's like, Denver's so chill. I love it. Whatever. Austin Rivers comes in. He's like, of course everyone loves Denver. We know Jeff Green wanted to be in, you know, a place like Denver. I'm curious if Denver's maybe a slightly climbing higher than 15. Again, definitely. I think there's really only like 4 markets. And
I
then everyone's
just
tied
to sit
for 5th,
here
but,
and name the 15 markets.
That might
that
take
are
a while. I thought about doing that.
That'd
but,
be fun.
Milwaukee was 16th, Denver 15th. I honestly think that ranking, it's just a tie. Everybody's a tie. Oklahoma City and New Orleans are like probably 29th and 30th, and then everybody else is just tied for 5th. New York, LA, New York, Miami, I guess it's 6th.
Hey man,
then everyone tied for 6th.
But like, if you know, obviously this isn't science, but if the perception of Denver gets into just that top 15-ish sort of category, then you start looking at how well the front office has run this thing, the stability within the brass of the organization, the appeal of playing alongside Jokic. You know, Denver doesn't, it starts to add up to, you know, they're never going to be that, well, you'll sign with this just because of where we're at on the map thing. But I really do think it's starting to add up to something desirable.
If you want to know how they can get higher, their draft spot is 25th. But again,
that's a Tim Conley
25 is really like a 30 or something. So, or I don't know, a 20. All righty, let's go on now to after them was, by the way, Miami, then Phoenix, then Golden State. So some really good teams that have pretty good futures that are behind Denver. Wow. So a lot of respect on Denver's name.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Let's go to league pass rankings real quick now and just kind of run through these. I wonder where the Nuggets are going to rank. Zach Lowe just did this, but his top 10, I think, drops later or maybe next week. So he hasn't revealed. Denver in the top 10, though. Now, look, we know Zach Lowe loves the Nuggets. He always ranks them, I feel, a little bit lower than what he really thinks because he's like trying to hide his own bias.
Totally.
But I have a feeling Denver will be somewhere along 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in the back half of the top 10. Let's throw out the Nuggets. Of course, there are league pass darlings. Vote. Give me two or three teams that you're like, I like these teams. Do you have a list or do you want me to go?
I do have a list.
Okay.
Also want to say the Nuggets were my original league pass team. That's why.
That's true. That's true.
Okay. Can I just take the Nuggets East? The Chicago Bulls. Man. They're on my list.
Number one for me too.
Number one. I think they're just going to
be. I think that's going to change by the end of the season.
Hey, first of all, can I just say, have you looked at their net rating? Bulls. In preseason, 3-0.
Have you
net
watched rating,
have 22 points?
You watched DeMar DeRozan for like more than 10 games.
Come
ever?
On, man! Oh, this is terrible.
Can't wait till you have to watch Nikola Vucevic every single night.
Hey, wow. Lonzo, Zach LaVine, Lonzo Ball hey, already, dude. Just a perfect fit.
Is this an Arturis thing? Do you have some feelings you want to get up? I'm just kidding.
I don't. I just don't think they're as exciting as a lot of people are.
How much
on.
Of your rankings and just general feel for them is this like wanting Arturis to have something good?
Way up there.
Me too. Although, yeah. Yeah, me too.
Right. It also kind of feels harmless. Like they can be competitive out East and not step on Denver's toes at all.
Right. They're not going to get to the finals.
I have another one too. Curious if anyone else feels this way. I really like the vibes in Charlotte right now. Course, I like watching course. The Charlotte Hornets play basketball. It was a lot of fun. A lot of highlights to be
Lonzo
had.
And LaMelo 1-2 for Brendan Vogt.
Also, man, LaMelo... I love this dude.
Yeah, me too.
He just makes the games electric in, of course, not the same way, but just vaguely similar to Jokic insofar as a playmaker first. I just love that style of basketball. And then I'll put Memphis on there because Dev hates watching Ja so much.
Boo, Dev. Harrison, you got any more? Their crossover there, some teams you agree with?
Oh, for sure. Charlotte, I mean, that's my side piece. It's been my side piece for the last couple of years. Chicago, not on my list. Sorry. Atlanta's on my list.
Yeah, of course.
I love watching
They
Atlanta.
Were my side piece team last year. They're going to be great this year.
Yeah, they've
too.
Like...
You said John Collins dunk?
Yeah.
In the preseason?
Dude, holy...
Atlanta's just really shown me something these last couple years, man. Like, I see you, Atlanta. let's see here. Who else? I could probably get into watching a little Orlando this year. That's probably my worst
Hang
caliber.
On. You
Is this an RJ Hampton?
Chicago
Is this an RJ Hampton?
Yeah, RJ Hampton.
Checking in on ex-lover.
Suggs.
List is dropping off after that. Gary Harris. Just
Anthony.
I'm saying.
No? Okay.
Probably talk myself into Mo Bamba for a game.
No, you
One
won't.
Game.
No, you
Two
won't.
Quarters.
Okay.
Here's another team that's kind of on my league pass rankings that I'm probably buying a little more than everybody. Minnesota.
Okay.
Interested to see Minnesota.
I'm telling you, this is how fickle I am. I was hyping them up. I watched the preseason. They kind of annoyed me. I was like, annoyed.
Well, they are super annoying.
Kind of annoying. Ugh. I'm replacing them. I see in the chat here, I got people, Miroslav, he nailed it. The Kings! Davion Mitchell, my guy. Davion Kings. Mitchell, Tyrese Halliburton, those are my dudes. Kings are replacing the who is it we just threw out?
Dude, you get really fired up by tenacious on-ball defense on a losing team.
Yeah,
that really
that's my thing,
it?
Man. Oh, Davion Mitchell, dude, I'm telling you, he's
awesome.
Top three baddest dude in the NBA right now.
In person in summer league,
not most skilled, just baddest.
It was actually insane watching that kind of defensive focus. Is pretty nuts.
I mean, I just feel like I like watching bad teams more than good teams a lot of the time.
feels less guilty.
Yeah, I like bad teams.
I see somebody says Oklahoma City in the chat. I see somebody says Dallas. I'm with – I vote. We line up. I said Bulls. I said Hawks. I got Hornets on here and Grizzlies up there. My two guilty pleasures, guys – The Warriors, I'm excited to watch the Warriors. Steph Curry remains the greatest show in basketball. Yeah. I love Steph Curry still just like when he's on fire, there's just nothing like it, and he's on fire pretty much all the time now.
No disagree there.
Jordan Poole's pretty good, and then you get Klay Thompson back at a certain point. They're very high. And then I hate to say this one. I'll watch some Brooklyn Nets.
I'll watch some Brooklyn Nets. I hate them. It's a hate watch, but
you'll be forced to watch them because they'll be on
TV. They will be on TV. Well, you're right. They're not even on League Pass ever. They'll always be on. But KD right now.
The good news is it'll be a slightly different roster and lineup every time you watch. Yeah. And you'll learn nothing new about them. And then they'll win the title.
And then they'll win the title. So that's
my
list.
Can we talk about our non-League Pass teams?
Every team I, honestly, it's easy. Every team I didn't mention is kind of on that list.
The team I'm least looking forward to watching this year?
The Lakers.
The Knicks.
The Knicks, the Lakers, yeah.
The Lakers.
I've got
kind of Wizards.
I've got kind
Wizards
of a hot
I'm
take.
Very excited about.
Yeah. For the Pacers. Who is? I don't could even care less about the Pacers.
I don't know.
I like Sabonis.
I don't need to see the Bucks play that much, man. Really? I know it paid off take. And they won, but like God, that Bucks. Offense can be grueling and hideous.
Here's another team. I don't need to see play. The Trailblazers. Don't need to see a single Trailblazers game.
All right. Well, that does it for us, guys. Thanks so much for playing along with us and sharing those comments.
Also, the Clippers. I have no interest in watching the Clippers.
That's another good point. Really good point. Not for Hartenstein? He didn't play the other day. They played Giles and didn't play Hartenstein. And I'm like, Hartenstein, something's got to be wrong with him. Like, he's got to be the biggest jerk or something that he never. Harry Giles, the worst player in the NBA. I think he might be, if I ranked them all, he would be my last one.
I'm not going to say anything.
All right. Don't say anything then. That does it for the show. Don't forget tonight, PJ Dozier at 5 o'clock. Don't forget tomorrow, we got pregame show. We got postgame show. We've also got two more player previews dropping tomorrow. I think. Mr. Nugget drops tomorrow. We've also got Jeff Green dropping tomorrow. So they're starting to get good, guys. You're going to want to be in. And these are premiered. So you get the live chat's going. We're usually in the live chat watching along. Watch those with us. Make it an event. Set your watches. Hit the little bell button that tells you there's a reminder. It'll shoot it to your phone. We're filming right now, guys.
Whoa.
Right now, we are going to film Michael Porter Jr., Nikola Jokic to wrap up the series.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
I don't need to watch.
All right, the XOs, the Colorado XOs, your local rugby team. Well, they've rebranded once again, but this one's here to stay. We're talking about the American Raptors, and they just finished their first season at 5-5. Remember, they were the XOs. We've been telling you all about this experiment. It's crossover athletes who excelled in other sports, coming from backgrounds in football, basketball, baseball, wrestling, soccer, track and field. Now they're trying rugby. Turns out they're pretty good at it. And if you want to check this out, see what it looks like with your own eyes, that's the best part about hitting up an American Raptors game. They are free, baby. F-R-E-E. Head over to AmericanRaptors.com and grab your free ticket for the upcoming season. If you can't make a game, AmericanRaptors.com will be streaming all of them from their website. Check it out. And if you get into it, the best way to stay on top of it all is with our weekly DNVR Rugby podcast hosted by the homie Colton Strigler. Check it out.